Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is the epistle lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 2, which is an alternate reading for the epistle lesson for Thanksgiving Day. And I hate to say this, but probably the main reason I chose to preach on it is I haven't preached on it in 20 years. So I thought I'd give it a go. Maybe, hopefully at the end you'll say I did. I pray you all have a blessed Thanksgiving as we gather to express gratitude to God and ongoing blessings. Our nation has set aside since 1863, and if you're filling out trivia quizzes this weekend or tonight, it was Lincoln who made it a national holiday, not the Pilgrims, not Washington, Lincoln. Washington declared the first Thanksgiving Day, and then between Washington to Lincoln, presidents just announced they were going to have a national day of Thanksgiving whenever they wanted. Lincoln puts it on the last Thursday of the month, and it stays there until 1941. In 1941, the last Thursday cut short shopping days for Christmas, and the merchants petitioned the president, and he changed the date to the fourth Thursday of the month, which it is still to this day. And then that caused great upheaval in our country. Imagine this. A day of giving thanks to God and praise for his blessings caused our nation to divide. Some states celebrated Thanksgiving Day on Lincoln's Day. Some celebrated it on Roosevelt's days. And some states had it twice, just to make everybody happy. And we, of course, know that when you try to make everybody happy, you make nobody happy. Anyways, a few years later, Congress takes it up, I think it's 43, and sets the date. And so for each year since, the presidents have made this proclamation of calling the nation back to give thanks. And I kind of find it ironic myself, because it's also the same country where they want to declare there's a separation of church and state, right? And yet we've only had one president in the entire time I could look at all the proclamations who didn't include God in his declaration. I won't mention who that was. I'll leave that to the guesses of the people, but it was recent. I'll leave it at that. And so, for them, and for many today, Thanksgiving really has nothing to do with church. As a matter of fact, lots of churches have got rid of Thanksgiving Day services. We'll do it Thanksgiving Eve, for Thanksgiving Day is to be with my family. Well, where's a better place to be with your family than a church? You could always eat a little later. But we have these traditions, right? The parade. We have the Lions, typically winning or losing, it's kind of 50-50, right, Jake? Yeah. Well, hopefully it's a good game today. You have food, hopefully lots of food. Maybe I pray the Lord has blessed you with that. And Lord willing, family gatherings. And all that is good if it helps remind us to be thankful to God who has given us all that we have. Who gives to us who have troubled consciences the forgiveness of our sins, and in so peace, especially peace during the times in which we live. Think about this letter to poor young Pastor Timothy. He's been left to pastor the church at Ephesus. He's so young as a pastor that Paul has to write, "Don't let anyone hold your age against you." Now, what that means, I don't have any idea how old Timothy really was. But in the synagogues, they had the common practice was men weren't allowed to speak until they reached 30, because they weren't considered to have anything worth hearing until that age. This is why Jesus waits to start his ministry until he's 30, right? So how old Timothy was, I don't know, but it was seen as a possible hindrance. But that wasn't the biggest hindrance. You had the Roman officials persecuting the church. You had Jewish legalists persecuting the church. You had pagan practitioners persecuting the church. And you had a small church that felt really bad about itself. So they were in a lot of self-pity mode. Everything's bad. It was a difficult time, and they were discouraged. God provides us comfort in those times when he reminds us, as he did, well, in 1 Samuel 15, he reminded Samuel, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. The Lord has chosen us for this time. And as a result of taking our attention off of ourselves, we can once again have some joy and some peace. Rather than worrying about what we don't have, we can rejoice with what we do have. So the Apostle Paul is urging Timothy, first of all, then, I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. We pray for the needs of ourselves and for everyone else. We offer intercessions, our prayers, for others who need help from God. And then we give thanks to God for all he gives to us. I think it's important for us to remember that prayer is an act of worship and an art of confession, right? It's an act of worship in which you are confessing who is the one that provides all you need, all you have. It's not informing God of something that he doesn't know, right? And so it doesn't matter if you're the only one praying for it or if you have a prayer chain of thousands. God is still answering your prayer. God is still providing for your needs, even without your prayers. But in faith, we can't help but give thanks to God for those gifts. For he gave us everything. He gave us himself in his only begotten Son, who bore the sins of the entire world, of all time, man and woman, and bore it on the cross. And on the third day rose so that we could have life in it everlasting in a world that we're surrounded by nothing but death and decay, disease, and the threats of the devil. This is the purpose today, our purpose today, like every day though, to pray, praise, and give thanks to God. We don't need a national holiday to do it. It's what Christians do. It's our very fiber of being. This giving thanks goes far beyond today, because Christ is the Christian life and source of all our blessings. However, Jesus Christ, well, he changes everything. He was willing to do all that we needed, because the only thing we need to fear, the only thing we need to fear, is the one who can destroy body and soul in hell. That's it. This is one of the beauties of a day like today. A day when we gather as Christians and we give thanks, and then we think about what Paul has said to Timothy. In verse 2, he says that we are to pray for all people, and then he goes for kings and all in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Think about that for just a second. Paul is telling Timothy to pray for the king. The emperor at the time that Timothy is we're talking here around 50-55 AD that this letter is written, right? Nero's the emperor. He's killing Christians just for kicks and giggles. He's a horrible man. Paul says, pray for him, that things may go better for you. Timothy's prayers and the prayers of the Christians, the saints who had died in the faith before, were answered. Not that day. Not for a number of years. Christianity doesn't become legalized until 315 with the Edict of Tolerance. But from that day all the way through to that day, those prayers were to be uttered so that we could have a peaceful and quiet life, to live a peaceful and quiet existence, praying for godly leaders. And God raised one up. It wasn't in Timothy's time. I think this gives us comfort when we're praying, right? We don't get what we want when we want it all the time from God. And sometimes when you actually get exactly what you prayed for, you find out that's not what I wanted at all. Right? But the good Lord provides according to His will, but He always provides. You see, the Son, the only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, sets us free. And because we are free from our sins, free from our needs, free from all things necessary for body and soul, then we can take up caring for our neighbors. We can provide for them. We can pray for them. We can see how the Lord provides for them. I had the thought last night, I was thinking about this. Can you imagine how frustrated Timothy must have been with his prayer journal? I'm sorry, that's sarcastic. Praying for peace, and all these Christians are getting killed all around him. It'd be like us today praying for Nigeria and the Christians to stop being killed, and they're just being killed left and right over there. Did you see the video last week? A Pentecostal worship service. A church was having church live streaming it on the internet like we are today, and all of a sudden these Muslim guerrillas come in. They run everybody out of the building, and the next thing you hear is gunshots. Apparently what happened is they took the pastor hostage, they killed everybody else, and then the guerrillas, the Muslims, come back in and steal all the women's purses. Live stream for everybody to watch. It barely made the news. Lord have mercy, and thanks be to God we're here and not there, where we can worship freely today and give thanks, praise, and rejoice that we can serve and obey and sharing the good news. You see, when we face strong persecution, that's even more reason to pray for those who are persecuting us. When Jesus tells us that we have to love our neighbor as ourselves, He doesn't make that optional. And those neighbors don't always like us. In fact, sometimes they hate us and want us dead. And that's all the more reason to pray for them, so that they repent, that they come to faith, that they return to the Lord, and that they become our brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, when God is good, and in God's eyes, all things done in faith are pleasing to Him. He wants the truth of the gospel to be confessed to all people. When we have peace and a peaceful life, this is easily done. That's why we pray every service for the leaders of our nation, for the leaders of our community, for the leaders of our church body. And even though we pray for them, we have chaos from time to time. But the Lord continues to bless His church. So Paul emphasizes the need of our prayers for our nation when he says, "Kings and all those in high positions, contrary to the protest, we don't have a king. Yet our nation needs us. They need us to pray for them. They need us to confess the truth to them. They need us to join our voice with the communion of saints and give thanks to God for all that He has done, so that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life." Thanksgiving Day has a higher and greater meaning for Christians. The word thanksgiving, as used in the text, means to express gratitude for benefits or blessings of God. This leads us to our humble and truthful request. We have so much for which to thank God for. He gives us His Word, which is the living voice of our God. Through water and the Word, we are joined in baptism, made heirs of the kingdom of heaven, adopted. He gives us spiritual nourishment today as He renews the strength of our faith by giving us His Holy Supper, the very body and blood of Jesus that covers our flesh and blood runs through our veins to cleanse us and purify us. God even cares for our earthly needs as well. He provides us, as Luther teaches in the Catechism, with all that I need to support this body and life. In so many ways, our Lord makes sure that we have what we need. Prayers and thanksgivings then include our personal prayer life, where we remember what God has done for us individually, where we remember what we need, where we begin, though, with our baptism that gives us faith as the Holy Spirit works, and we work all the way to when our Lord returns, thanking Him for the confidence and comfort that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Today we gather in His house for the very distinct purpose of prayer, to give thanks, and to live as God's peaceful people. As Christians, we carry our thanksgiving even further as we confess Jesus Christ as Savior, a gift given for all. Let us give thanks in our worship, with our hymns, in our prayers, and in our renewed lives as we have in Jesus, that we have in Jesus Christ. For in Jesus' name, let all His people pray, praise, and give thanks continually this day and forevermore. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.